The thing about God's Word is it's very simple. Anytime you get to trying to teach something and it's real complex and hard to understand, you're probably heading down the wrong path. God just doesn't make things complex and difficult and hard to understand. It's just very plain in the Word. And so for me, it's important to keep things simple. But because, even though the Word is simple, there are times that, how many of you ever all of a sudden read something and something simple, it's like somebody pulled back the cover and you're like, oh, wow, that made sense. Well, God uses, and Jesus used, and I believe He would have us use, these common everyday techniques to illustrate a truth, to bring to light for children what the truths of God's Word is. The Bible tells us very clearly that we don't see clearly as we should, but that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us truths to our heart. As a matter of fact, Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed that the eyes of our understanding, in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And so part of our role as children's ministers is to enlighten the hearts and minds of children to the truths of God's Word. And so to be effective in that, I think it would be important for us to probably follow the same method Jesus followed. How many believe what He did, good enough for Him, good enough for us? And if He used parables and common everyday things to bring out truth, then we can do the same thing. And so I want to talk to you about a few techniques that will help children grasp the truths that you're teaching. And for me, it all is about packaging when it comes to children. How many of you know McDonald's Happy Meals are successful because of the way they package them? How many of you like Happy Meals? Look at her. She just raised her hand. As soon as I said Happy Meal, hand went up. Now, why is that? Because they've learned to package things in a way that a kid will say, Mom, I want to go to McDonald's. Mom, I want to go to McDonald's. Mom, I want to go to McDonald's. I want to go to McDonald's. What do you want for lunch? I want McDonald's. And the adult's saying, I'm sick of McDonald's. But the kid is, I want that Happy Meal. Right? I want those chicken nuggets and I want that toy. And you know, McDonald's could care less about the toy. They just want to get you the food. And so what I want to talk to you about is how to package what we're doing in our classrooms in a way that kids will want to receive it. Because, you know, I got to tell you, and I remember this, I can remember this. I can remember parents coming to me when I was the children's minister telling me, you know, the whole reason I come to church is because my kid can't stay away. I remember Pastor Wyatt saying it was one of the biggest compliments. He probably don't even remember saying it, but I remember one of the biggest compliments he ever gave me. And he just did it sort of offhandedly. He introduced me to somebody and he said, he's the most valuable person in my church. I was his children's minister. How was I the most valuable person in the church? Well, I believe it's because he esteemed children. That's part of the reason. But I believe also it was because I heard testimonies of parents that would come to me and say, man, we come here because our kids just love you. They can't stay away. Well, we need to package our children's ministry and ourselves in a way that kids want to come back. They get up on Saturday morning, they're excited about coming. So I want to talk to you about how to package the truth into ways that children can receive it. And so I want to talk about child-sized packages. Child-sized package number one. Are you ready? Stories. Everybody say stories. Jesus employed storytelling to open the truths of God's Word to people, and we should do that for children. I want to read to you an account where He did this in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. It says, Jesus told the people another story in the Contemporary English Version. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Now, I want you to listen to the story. Really listen to what he's saying, all right? He says, what will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp and sweep the floor and look carefully until she finds it? Do you see the imagery in what he's doing there? He's painting a picture in the minds of these people of this woman who's lost this coin and she's frantically looking for it. Then she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate. I found the coin I lost. And Jesus said, in the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to Him. Now, I want you to recognize the importance of the storytelling in this encounter. Had Jesus just have said verse 10, and He said, you guys need to realize that the angels are happy when someone gives their life to God, it would not have had the same impact had He not told the story before it. It would not have had the same imagery. It would not have created the same emotion within the hearer. And that's one of the things that storytelling does for children is we need to learn to be able to tell stories in a way that it invokes the emotion and the imagination of children. So they put themselves in that spot. It will cause the truth to seep down into their heart so that you really understand it. So they don't walk out with a memory verse that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's not even a memory verse, right? or a piece of paper that says that, but it's not real to them. I can tell you there have been times when my kids have come home and they've told me about a time where a teacher made what the truth they were teaching real by telling a story about how it happened. And so I want to talk to you about different ways to tell stories. Different types of stories that we can tell. One of the type of stories we can tell are just stories from the Bible. The Old Testament, and I find this to be true, this is probably not the case here, but in lots of Spirit-filled churches, I find that children are woefully uneducated about the stories of their Christian heritage found in the Old Testament. I find that denominations do a much better job of that for some reason, of teaching the truths of Moses, not just the big characters. You talk about Moses and Joseph and David, and they may know those stories, but I mean stories about Ruth and stories about Gideon and all the other maybe minor stories that we wouldn't know. Stories about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You know, I find that a lot of kids are woefully uneducated about their Christian heritage. I mean, that is the foundation of our faith, the Old Testament. And so we can tell stories from the Old Testament. Children need these real life stories. I'm grateful that you guys have downloaded the curriculum I have and we're using it, because I got to tell you, one whole set of that curriculum, Treasure Hunters, is all about going into those Old Testament stories so that the kids know who those characters were, and then creating New Testament truths that they can apply to their lives from them. And so that's encouraging to know that you're using that. And there are other great curriculums out there. But when you tell the stories, you've got to be creative in telling the stories. And that's one of the things I've tried to do with that curriculum. I've rewritten sort of the Old Testament stories so that it's not just, you know, wah, 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 you know, like the, you know, the Peanuts teacher. I remember in one of the stories, I talk about Adam and Eve and how God created Adam and how Adam was, and then God created Eve. And I talked about how Adam was put fast asleep and God created Eve, and then when Adam woke up, the Bible says he saw the woman and it was good. But what I do is I tell story and I say Adam woke up and he said, hubba, hubba, hubba. And the kids go home and say, man, Adam, when Eve was created, he thought, man, that's a good thing. It brought the story to life. I mean, we need to learn to be creative in our storytelling and put it in everyday language. I mean, when we talk about these Old Testament truths in modern languages as kids can understand. Don't just be a monotone teacher that reads the story, but, you know, read the story. Get it down into your heart. Think about, how can I tell this in a way that kids will understand it? You say, well, that's just not me. We're going to talk about that in a later lesson. I believe it is you. If God placed an opportunity in front of you to minister to children, then I got to tell you something. There's some shaking you out of your frame he's probably wanting to do, because you need it for the future. Another type of illustration are stories from your own life. You know, in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, in the future when your children ask Joshua, he said this to Joshua, in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them. And he says, tell them the story of what happened, about your own life. I remember vividly, we have a older lady. She's not that much older. She's 60-some years old. She's not that much older. But she teaches my children. I remember my kids coming home so excited to tell me a story about how prayer works. And the story's about when she was a little kid and how her grandmother, they were living in a house and a tornado was coming to the house. And they had thought that the dad had yelled up to the mom, get the kids down in the basement. And she thought that she had said, for some reason, get them into the bedroom. Well, the bedroom was upstairs. So everybody's in the basement, and here's the mom with these two kids in the upstairs bedroom as this tornado comes by and the house is yanked off its foundation and moves. But she prayed and how they believed God and how they were protected. My kids remember that story about how you can pray and God will protect you. See, that modern day story brought things to life. You may not have, you know, dynamic stories like that, but I would tell you this. If you survey your life, you can always find opportunities to illustrate a truth of how God made it real in your life. Even if it's a small thing, but the reality of it hitting your life will bring it to life in the mind of a kid. So telling stories. And so those are some ways that we can tell stories and do things. Child size package number two that we can use is object lessons. What is an object lesson? It's using an object to illustrate a truth. All through the Old Testament, we see this. We see where Moses lifted up a serpent on a pole to illustrate. What did it illustrate? It was an object lesson of what Jesus would do for us one day. that there would be Jesus in the form of sin lifted up on the cross, even though he wasn't sin, to provide healing for us. And so we can creatively do things to illustrate the truth to children. I remember, you know, I was trying to get across the importance of the name of Jesus in prayer. And I was teaching kids, as I was preparing that lesson, I thought, Lord, how can I illustrate this? How can I use something to help kids understand how important it is to use the name of Jesus when they pray? Jesus said, when you pray, use the name of Jesus. He said, come to the Father in my name. And so I got to thinking about that and thinking, you know, if we didn't come to the Father in the name of Jesus, we didn't come trusting in that name, how would it change our prayer life? And so I came up with this object lesson where I just took a telephone and I set it on the table. And what I did was I said, using the name of Jesus is like dialing the right number in prayer. And I said, if I don't dial the right number, I'd pick up the phone and I didn't dial the number at all. I just pick up the phone and I started doing this. The kids are looking. I said, but when I dial the right number, hey, God, how you doing? I just wanted to talk to you today. And all of a sudden that phone was an object that illustrated a truth. Now the kids have it in real life. Man, if I'm going to get a hold of God, I got to use the name of Jesus. We can figure out creative ways. If you're not that creative, there are other people around you in this room that probably are. Pick up the phone, call somebody, ask. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but we can use object lessons to create and bring truth to light. Here's another one. Singing. Singing seems to be a universal language, especially with kids. And it's a propensity to draw people in. I remember I just went to Brazil and ministered to some folks, and I was tired, and it was near the end of my trip, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and it was very peaceful and tranquil, but I just was tired. But I'll never forget, I was in my room, and all of a sudden I hear these guitars and being played, and people banging a bongo, and people singing, and it just drew me out of my room. It just drew me out to see what's going on. Singing has a way of drawing people in so that truths can be, you know, in when it comes to the things of God, so that truths can be made real to them. The psalmist David said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth I'll make known thy faithfulness. He said, I'll sing first and then I'll make known. There's something about singing that causes things to be made known. And children, for some reason I found that singing with children helps open the door for truth to come into their hearts. Now there are a couple of types of songs you can sing. One, Our fun, I think sometimes we can be overly spiritual with kids, and all we ever sing is, just all the worship songs. But I believe that, you know, there are lots of activity songs out there that you can sing that just open up a door for children to be able to receive and for children to be able to hear the truth of God's word. How many of y'all know the song Father Abraham? Y'all want to know that? Stand up with me. I want to just show you something about Father Abraham. I'm going to illustrate it. We're going to sing it. I'm going to show you something interesting about Father Abraham and what it does for you, okay? Because it's not the song. It's something about it. So how many of you know this song? Now, I'm not the greatest singer in the world, but I'll sing it, all right? So I'll start. You guys got to jump in, though, with me, all right? Are you ready? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, Father Abraham. Everybody, wait a minute. See, I would do that with kids. If you're in here and you don't know the song, that's okay. I expect you to just say refrigerator with your mouth to look like you're singing. But I expect you to do the motions at least. All right? So we're going to do this again. We're going to start again. We're going to do the motions all the way through, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, we'll figure out why in a minute. Ready? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm, right foot. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them. We're learning something, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left foot, nod your head. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left foot, nod your head, turn around. Father Abraham had many sons. I'm getting tired. And many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left foot, nod your head, turn around, sit down. Now look at everybody. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's smiling. And I got to tell you, this was the premise for children's ministry for me. If you can get a child to laugh, you open up their heart to receive truth. And activity songs do something about opening up the opportunity for a kid to enjoy themselves. Every one of us, well, I don't know, I didn't see the back row, but every one of us were smiling when we did this. And I got to tell you, I did this in one session, and everybody but one lady was not smiling about it. She did not like doing it. And, you know, I won't go into why. But at the end of the day, either she needed to learn to get free if she was going to minister to children, or she needed to be in another place doing something else. But these activity songs, what they do is they open up the door for children to laugh. And I'm a firm believer of this. This is a foundational principle for children's ministry for me is if we can open up a child's capacity and heart to laugh, just to laugh and have fun, then we open up a great opportunity for God to pour little truths into their lives. So activity songs are one way we can do things that a child relates to that can open up the door for truth to get in. Another way we can do it is through worshipful songs that draw children to the heart of their Creator. This gets back to more about not underestimating the capacity of a child to believe. And it doesn't mean you have to have great praise and worship or great CDs or anything. You can do it by itself. Music has a propensity to draw us into the presence of God, even as a child. I remember the song, God is So Good. How many of you know that song? Just close your eyes with me and sing this song with me. Say, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. You notice what that just did? Create an atmosphere for God to move. We need to have opportunities where we meet kids where they're at. Kids tend to like to sing. There may be some that don't, but it creates that opportunity. Here's another way that we can, another child-sized package we can use in our teaching sessions. And this is so important to me. It's tapping into the world of wonder of children. You know, one of the things I've found is that kids have just an uncanny ability to imagine and to wonder. I think about my daughter, my six-year-old daughter, and she has these little things. How many of you kids know what squinkies are? These little squinkies. She has little squinkies, and she can create this imaginary world with flying mice and magic fairies and talk and play with them. And it's like, wow. I mean, how did she do that? She has this unbelievable capacity to believe and to think and to imagine things that are beyond the norm. And we need to learn how to tap into that child's world of wonder. God created them that way. And unfortunately, what's wound up happening is the world has learned to do a better job of that than we have. Disney and Nickelodeon, they figured out ways of kids being just mesmerized by what they're doing because it taps into this imaginary world. And we have to be willing to be able to do that. The Bible tells us that, you know, sometimes the world is more wise than we are about things. So how do you create worlds of wonder for children in this form of child-sized packaging? First of all, larger-than-life characters. You heard Kristen say it. She remembers me as Captain Tom. Well, how did that happen? I created a larger-than-life character for her. I was this goofy guy that showed up in shorts and a white shirt and a captain's hat when everybody else was wearing suit and ties to church. And I'll talk about some other things I did to create worlds of wonder as well. But first thing I did was, is I was a larger-than-life character. I think sometimes we need to think about that when we're ministering to children. I did this workshop for my own church, and I remember the very next day, one of the ladies showed up, and she looked like Pippi Longstocking. I thought, wow, man, she took this to heart. And now when it's her turn to teach, she shows up, and the kids know her as that character. Crazy Betty is what her name is. And she's crazy with them. And they know her that way. But I got to tell you something. I mean, I think about this. I think about Chris and all the other kids who came through my church. I see adults now. When they see me, they're like, Captain Tom. That's what they say. I created this larger-than-life character in their life that they looked forward to seeing on a regular basis. See, if we're going to be successful in children's ministry, we need to think about that. How can I be larger than life? Maybe you don't dress up as a goofy captain, but maybe you just show up and you put on some other, maybe you get you some glasses, maybe you wear, I don't know, you just do something that causes kids, to say, wow, that person really cares about me. They care about me enough to be goofy and be silly. We also need to create larger than life classrooms, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I look around and I see that you guys have done a good job of that. But there is something to be said about creating this imaginary, for lack of a better way to put it, this imaginary world for a few short moments for a kid to be able to receive from God. God uses this technique even with us. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, when he told Abraham, he said, get out of your country and go to another place and then I'll show you what it is I'm going to call you to be. Why did he do that? Because he needed to remove him from his own surroundings so that those things weren't affecting his ability to receive what God had for him. And the reason these worlds of wonder, these imaginary, these larger-than-life classrooms are important because we don't know what background these kids come from. They may come from an abusive home. They may come from a home where they have lack and they have nothing. They may come from a home, they have a loving parent, but all they know is poverty. They may come from a home where they're beat all the time or they're talked down to all the time. And if we create these wonderful classrooms where they walk in and all of a sudden they're in a different world for a moment. They forget about all that other stuff. It opens their heart up with the ability to be able to receive something. And so one of the things that we have to do if we're going to break down the truth into these child-sized packages is we need to think about our classrooms and think about the characters we're being. Are we just some stick-in-the-mud adult that they've thrown in front of me if I was a kid that's just trying to bide some time and try to cram some truth down my throat? Or is this a fun, engaging person that I look forward to seeing every Sunday? Is this classroom a classroom when I walk into it that causes me to go, wow, this is really nice? Or does it cause me to go, wow, this is out of this world? And it doesn't take a lot of money to do that. You throw a party, what do? You put up some balloons and streamers. And kids are excited about it. We just have to be creative. This phrase as I was driving down last night rolled out of my heart. And I think it's important to share it. Are we competing? I think about it. Are we competing for the attention of our children? Not competing with the church next door, because that's not our competition. Our competition is the iPad and the television and the Game Boy and the Chuck E. Cheese's down the street. Those are the movies, the skating rink, all the exciting things. Are we competing for the attention of our children? If you were running your classroom like it was a business, would that child want to come back or would they want to go to Chuck E. Cheese instead? Do we have Chuck E. Cheese here? Y'all know what Chuck E. Cheese is? Okay. Really? See, because one of the things I tried to do with every single class I had with kids was, man, I wanted to make it as fun as if they went to Carowinds or if they went to Disney or Six Flags. I wanted to make it that fun in the little bit of time I had. Maybe I couldn't put a roller coaster in the room, but I was going to make it fun. They were going to laugh. They were going to have a good time. Now, we did some goofy things. So we need to make larger than life classrooms. And then last of all, one of the other things we can do is we can play games. Kids love games. Kids are competitive, and they like games. But I'm not talking about just games that don't illustrate a truth. I mean, that's okay. But I'm talking about being creative and doing what I like to call as object games. Being creative about our lessons. You know, one of the lessons that I've written, it talks about forgiveness and how forgiveness is God's liquid plumber. It unclogs the spout so that the blessings can come out. And so I talk about if you got forgiveness, you're all clogged up. And I thought about, Lord, how can I illustrate this in a fun way for kids? And so I thought of a game that they could play. And it was a simple game. We took strings and we hung them. I don't know if you remember this one. We hung strings from the ceiling and we put little things and we put lifesavers on the strings and little things that would stop the lifesavers. And then I had these cards. One said unforgiveness, one said bitterness, one said meanness, and one of them said forgiveness. And whenever the kids pulled the forgiveness card, they could pull that little barrier and the lifesaver would drop down to the next level. It would drop down to the next level. And the team that won all got lifesavers. Kids love games. By the end of the game, the kids are going, forgiveness! When a kid would come up to draw a card, forgiveness, forgiveness, we need forgiveness. What's happening? They're having fun, not even realize they're learning the truth of the lesson. We need to be creative and play games that engage kid and illustrate a truth. I remember it's just simple things. Like, you know, how many of you ever run out of time at the end of a class and you still got to do something, right? Or they're just going to bounce off the walls. So I developed games. I mean, I remember one. I remember the game Simon Says? I just turned it into God's Word Says. If God's Word says it, you do it. If it didn't say it, you don't do it. And so we play that game as a time filler. Just try to find creative ways that illustrate truths to kids. And so Jesus says he ministered to people in parables, and he didn't do anything without a parable, it says. He took common things to bring to light the truth of God's word. And so we have to figure out ways to do that for children. Some of the things we've shared are there, and you've probably got good ideas yourself, but just think about ways that I can use common things in every kid's life. You know, a lot of people talk about children's ministry and being relevant, and they think that being relevant means that you have to have videos and you have to have games. You don't necessarily have to do all those things. Those things cost money. You may not have the money to do those things. But what you can do is teach in a way that you can relate those things through object lessons and games and different things that will engage them and help them learn that truth. All right? So I tried to move through this one sort of quick so we could get to lunch, but I hope that came across. Child-sized bites. Let's talk about what those were again, just real quickly. Stories from the Old Testament, from our own life. We talked about object lessons, using things that the kids are used to. I mean, figure out a way to incorporate an iPad into your lesson. Figure out a way to incorporate, you know, NFL Madden 2012 into one of your lessons. Yeah, every time I bring up a sports thing, she turns her nose up. What's a game you like? Is there any games you like? Oh, she's not a gamer. She's not a gamer. Okay, I got you. What is it you like to do?
Play sports.
Play sports. Figure out a way to illustrate some things through sports. I'll never forget one of the things I did to illustrate sports is I drew a football field on the floor, and the kids got to move down the field as they drew a certain card that had a certain truth on it that they needed to draw, and but we use sports. Just figure out a way to incorporate things. So we talked about object lessons. We talked about singing. I think we need to incorporate that into our classrooms, worshipful songs and activity songs. And we talked about creating worlds of wonder, larger-than-life characters, larger-than-life classrooms. And if we'll do those things and then playing games, if we'll do those things, we can be effective and reaching children. All right, let's pray before we, and I'll go ahead and bless the food. You want to just do that? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be creative when it comes to ministering to children. We can do just like Jesus did and use common everyday things to illustrate the truths of God's word. And so I thank you that the great and mighty Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And he is the most creative being there ever was. And I thank you that he'll help us, he'll lead us, he'll guide us in ways that we can uniquely use our own personality to do that. I thank you for helping us create worlds of wonder where children can step out of the realm in which they live into another world where you can open their eyes to the truths of who they really are. We give you praise and thanks for that taking place. And we also thank you for the food that's been prepared for us. We receive it with thanksgiving. We receive nourishment to our bodies from it. And we just bless you and thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.